You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the studios with me is Jasmine Lee, CEO of MNC Wireless Berhad. For the benefit of our listeners, tell us, what does MNC Wireless do? What is your core business?
Okay, we started MNC Wireless in 2002. That was 6 years ago. Oh no, now it's 7 years.
Seven.
Wow,
yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah, exactly.
And when we started the business, our main focus was on providing mobile marketing services to enterprise clients. We were a bit early in the market because it took some time for people to understand what is SMS, how do you do premium SMS, how do you broadcast SMS to your customers. So we basically just moved on to another business, which is downloads. If an easier way to say it, it's ringtones and graphics for your phones. And that seems to bring in the cash at that time. And as we move along, we started diversifying and focusing also on building more value-added services for mobile. So in summary, you can say that our core business is building mobile value-added services.
Value-added services, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a statement that's been put out saying that it hopes the company hopes to transform from a mobile-centric provider to a converged digital service company. Now, you've already gone from, you know, your SMSs to your downloads, your ringtones, and where are you heading now? Because everybody says, well, you know, you were ahead of the market. We're all watching you. We're watching Jasmine in particular,
yeah.
Jasmine Lee, who as the CEO, because you're the one who's been out there spotting the trends.
Yes. I think when we started, the people who started this business, we are all marketeers. We came from a marketing or product development or product management background. And we know that mobile is just a vehicle to carry marketing messages or to carry communications through. And there are many more channels out there. And we see convergence coming even when we started the business. But at that time, it was a bit early. But we know that that is a natural path for the business to move into converged services, such as combining mobile, internet, and broadcasting. We have actually gone many steps into that. Last year itself, we started a digital agency. Digital Kung Fu.
Yes.
So Digital Kung Fu focuses on building applications and engaging digital services for customers or brands that want to contact their customers either via mobile or any digital forms, especially social networking now. So we have moved really a lot of steps from just doing mobile. On top of that, we have also invested in a game development company, which is a good move, because we start seeing, after the downturn in November, we start seeing a surge in game downloads. And people are, of all ages, not only the teens, are really gravitating towards games. Because
really?
Somehow,
I only thought this was limited to the,
to the
digital
teens, yeah.
Generation, yeah, which doesn't include people like me.
Yeah. Interestingly, a lot of studies done in America and also in Asia, in East Asia especially, the breakdown of the age groups is quite balanced.
Right.
It's at least 30% female, which is quite a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one third of each age group. From teens is one third, and 25 to 35 is one third of the group.
Are you a gamer yourself?
Yes, I am.
You are. Okay. So what role did you have in Elven Legends? Did you play a role, or were any of the characters based on Jasmine Lee?
Oh, no. I think Elven Legends was created basically to answer to the need of 3G subscribers. We noticed there is a gap in 3G applications. A lot of 3G applications were created for the business users. Sad to say, business people, they just don't just consume business products. They also like to be entertained. And that is a true and tested case in Japan when they first launched 3G. And they noticed the take-up was actually the females contacting each other and keeping in touch with each other and using 3G more than the business users.
Right.
So in Malaysia as well, we see that gap. And instead of creating another business application for 3G, we thought a multiplayer game would be great. So we did a soft launch with Maxis, for Elven Legends, and it's interesting to see the interaction that goes on, because you can play 7 players at any time.
Well, that's right,
yeah.
And it's globally, basically, because now we can go through the internet. Well, this is interesting, because people were saying initially that, you know, as far as the mobile side to the industry, that was pretty much going to stagnate after a while, because how much further can you go? Now, MNC Wireless has been pretty innovative. I mean, you've gone to the gaming side, which I think makes sense. But even if in the days of the SMS, there were some very interesting tie-ups. The recruitment by SMS, that was a, I thought, rather innovative kind of way of doing business, rather than using your traditional media, because it was very focused to specific individuals. Tell us a little bit more about the kind of thinking that went into developing those kind of things.
I think whenever we create any application, we'll sit down and brainstorm. We can come up with 10 ideas. Probably 8 will fail and 2 will work. That will be great. Even 1 working is fine. But the core of insights into how we come up with ideas is, how do we operate as human beings, and how do we operate in communicating with each other? We don't have to come up with super high-tech ideas, but something that enhances people's life. Even a simple act of opening up SMS, you remember maybe 10 years ago when the operators decided to have cross-operator SMS, immediately the SMS exploded.
That's
it's such
right.
a simple act, and it's not difficult to do. Another service that we never thought would work but actually worked was something like short story SMSs.
Yes.
During the heat of horror stories and horror movies, we actually launched around 10 services in Malay for short stories in SMS, and you finish a story in 7 SMSs, and each one is charged a certain fee. And we thought, this may not work, but we'll just give it a try, because you can buy a book by all these SMSs put together. But somehow it just exploded, because people actually wanted these horror stories at 12 midnight where we send you the SMS. So the insights to the users are very important, of what people need, how their lifestyles are, and what do they do with each other.
Isn't that replicating, though, some of the trends which we're already seeing on the internet? Internet has these kind of things where you've got, you know, finish this poem or finish this story, and basically it's that. But what I guess what you're saying is that it's just more immediate.
Yes.
With
it's never a problem when it's an old idea. It's only a problem when it's a bad idea.
Okay.
So if it's an old idea and it works, why not try it on a different channel?
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about 2008 was supposed to be a year for investment. You did your investments, you diversified, you went into several things. Now, that would have been quite challenging, I suppose, because, you know, we're looking ahead and you're like, ooh, it's starting to get tough now, but we'll use this as an investment year. Tell me about exactly what you did in terms of the business development plan, how much capital expenditure, you know, you put out, and into what specifically?
Okay. I think we went through a very tough 3 years after we were listed in 2005 due to, like you say, the downturn in the take-up of mobile services. We do see a change in end of 2007 where it started to turn better, and we felt that we cannot rely on just doing the business of mobile services all the time, and we have to protect ourselves for the future and start diversifying, investing in new businesses. So the board and the key shareholders took a decision to invest in new businesses as well as in new markets. So in 2008, we went into investing in a new digital agency, providing digital creative services and brand services for clients, who call Digital Kung Fu. And we also invested in an R&D center in China. We discovered that it's very tough to hire good technical people for certain areas, especially internet area of development in Malaysia. So we started employing people from China, doing some technological transfer, and as well as setting up a center in China to develop social networking services, which is the buzzword now, and also platforms to facilitate community and community-based applications and services. The other big investment is actually in Saudi Arabia. We have started a joint venture company with a company called Saudi Intel Tech in Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is a very interesting market. A lot of people say, I'm going to the Middle East.
That's right.
That means I'm going to Dubai. But we chose to go to Riyadh, where the market is much bigger than UAE. And the consumers of mobile are very hungry for services like that. So we felt that it was a very sound investment into Saudi Arabia. We hope to start to see the fruits this year, because the process, you asked about the challenges, the process of setting up companies in the Middle East is a very, very big difference from Malaysia. It's it's a hard and tough process because of bureaucracy and the speed of how they work. But we got in, we started launching services in January, so we hope to see some fruits this year.
Yeah. All right. What kind of, to put it bluntly, what kind of amounts are we talking about? What kind of money did you put down into all this going into the Middle East? Not easy in terms of process, but also not cheap.
Yes. This is public knowledge, so we invested in a 70-30 JV, of course the 30% for the foreign company, which is us. The company has invested a total of 2 million Saudi riyal, which works out to be 1.8 million ringgit. And we have invested our 30% there, which is around 580,000 ringgit. So it's not a lot of investment compared to a lot of big MNCs, although we are called MNC.
Yes.
But it is substantial. For mobile companies, when we do investments and we spend every dollar, it is trackable to what we get at the end. So we are very, very careful with what we spend there and how we are going to get our money back.
Yeah, well, not just how you're going to get your money, but when. I think for a lot of people now, given the uncertainty that's happening, it's like, fine, we've made the investment. You know, you look to preservation of whatever assets that you've plowed your money into, but you also want to see some returns in, you know, as soon as possible. You think this year from the Middle East?
Should see some returns.
Really? By second quarter?
By second quarter, yes, we should see some revenues coming in. The other strategy that we use for the Middle East is that a lot of developments are done out of Malaysia. One of the good step that we took with the partners there is that we invest in the technology and the development of the service and Arabization as well, because Malaysia is a good place to Arabize services compared to any other partners.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in the early stages, they were considering another company from Europe versus us. And somehow the Arabians are quite friendly towards Malaysian investors, and they like working with Malaysians because we understand the culture and we understand the sensitivity to do with the religion. So they invested in the administration and finding the places, working with the governments there. So we don't have to worry too much about those issues. On top of that, the partners there have all the operators' billing system in their facility. They are a data center, and they also have all the 11 Arabian banks there. So we are quite guaranteed of a good network in Saudi Arabia.
BFM 89.9, the business station.